So I'm going to talk about sympathetic joy, and then we'll do some practice. And I want to start with a poem. And this is from Judith Hill. And it was written on September 11th, 2001. It's called Wage Peace. Wage peace with your breath. Breathe in firemen and rubble. Breathe out whole buildings and flocks of red-winged blackbirds. Breathe in terrorists and breathe out sleeping children in freshly mown fields. Breathe in confusion and breathe out maple trees. Breathe in the fallen and breathe out lifelong friendships intact. Wage peace with your listening. Hearing sirens, pray loud. Remember your tools, flower seeds, clothespins, clean rivers. Make soup, play music, memorize the words for thank you in three languages. Learn to knit and make a hat. Think of chaos as dancing raspberries. Imagine grief as the outbreath of beauty or the gesture of fish. Swim for the other side, wage peace. Never has the world seemed so fresh and precious. Have a cup of tea and rejoice. Act as if armistice has already arrived. Celebrate today. And that's written by Judith Hill. She's actually a Front Range poet, written on the day that, you know, the towers came down. And you can hear the just the beauty of her heart as it's so broken, and life is still worthy of celebrating and rejoicing. Life has never seemed so precious. And so, you know, when times are as difficult as this with COVID and, you know, the election, political dysfunction, racial injustice, we still need to access joy. It's a necessity as important as bread or a house or a job. We need to access joy. And so the Buddha taught a set of practices that kind of train our hearts in Buddha qualities. The four Brahma Viharas are loving kindness, compassion, sympathetic joy, and equanimity. And these are just the relational heart qualities of the awake heart. We're kind. And when we are in contact with difficulty, we're kind to the suffering, which is compassion. When we're in the presence of joy, we're kind to the joy, which is mudita, or sympathetic joy. And then all these practices are balanced by equanimity. We let people be who people are. We have this balance. And one of the aspects of equanimity, what allows us to stay balanced in relation with others, is the Buddhist tradition, you know, has this fundamental understanding that our happiness primarily, I mean, it's definitely determined by external circumstances, but once you reach, you know, a level of material well-being just sufficient, you know, to survive and be okay materially, you know, more material doesn't make us happier. The Buddhist tradition, you know, says that our happiness depends primarily on our mental habits. That's the world we always live in. We're always inside our minds. We're receiving the world through the filter of our habits. What we perceive depends on our habits. And a huge habit for all of us is negativity bias of the brain. Physiologically, the brain, you know, as Rick Hansen says, is Velcro for negative information and Teflon for positive. And so to be reality-based, we need to balance our brain. We need to have a positivity bias sometimes. We need to look for what's good, what's working, what's beautiful, what's inspiring. And so this practice of sympathetic joy, you know, like metta, you know, we think of people and, but we think of their joy. We look for the joy. We're orienting to the happiness in people's lives. Yes, there's lots of difficulty, but there's also happiness. It's out there if you look for it. You know, and part of joy is just, is humor. You know, we can take ourselves and the world lightly. So there's lots of humor in our Buddhist tradition. There's a Zen story about a Zen master is on one side of the river and her student is on the other side and there's no way to cross. And the student yells across the river, "How do I get to the other side?" And the Zen master says, "You are on the other side." And, you know, and being a Buddhist story, there's a message in it. You know, there's nowhere else to get. We're already where we need to be. Here's a Buddhist compliment. "I've never met anyone so thoughtless in my life." In a Zen monastery, a Zen monk leans over to another Zen monk and says, "Are you not thinking what I'm not thinking?" And, you know, we can take our tradition lightly. The Theravada tradition holds that what brings us back in life after life after life is attachment. And it's really confusion and suffering that reincarnates us. But once we're enlightened, once we're fully enlightened, the arhat never comes back. So let me get this straight. As long as life sucks, I'm going to come back. As soon as life doesn't suck, I'm not coming back ever again. That sucks. What kind of tradition do we have? So we can take our tradition lightly. We can take ourselves lightly. If you're like me and you're aging and you have a forgetful and ADD brain, here's a cartoon just about that. The ADD brain, you know, maybe that explains why the dinosaurs didn't make it. So we can have a sense of humor and we can rejoice in the goodness and the joy in life. And we can be glad that anyone is happy. And sympathetic joy is this practice where when we tune into the happiness in the world, it actually uplifts us. So we call it sympathetic joy. We get happy when we tune into others being happy. So the Dalai Lama says, why not make the happiness of others your happiness? It'll increase your chances by 7 billion to 1. So just to say a little bit about the practice, like metta, we bring someone to mind and then we're gonna send them kind phrases. In this practice, and it's a concentration practice, we just have the person and the phrase. And we also consider some way they're happy. So we just focus our minds on someone being happy and wishing them well. So what we want to do for our practice is we're going to start by picking someone easy in your life, just someone where your connection is simple and easy, and where for you, you can picture their happiness. Maybe it's a good friend, you know, who recently got married. Maybe it's just a child in your life, a grandchild or child who's, you know, just playing happily somewhere. For me, an easy being is my nephew. And, he's very close to his dad, and he's now 20 or so. And just recently, we were visiting, and his dad was telling a funny story, my brother, and Ben, my nephew, was just laughing so hard. And like, that's a great moment for mudita. I can focus on just that moment. I don't need a big story, right? It's just that simple scene of Ben being happy and focusing my mind on it and wishing Ben well. So bring an easy being to mind, anyone at all, and picture them just in a moment of happiness. And then here are some phrases. There are different phrases, and you can play with the words and just play with the words as you like. So one phrase might be, I appreciate the joy in your life. Another phrase might be, I'm glad you're happy. Another one might be, may you always be this happy. Now, logically, that's not possible, but that's the heart wish. We wish that for people, and that's our good heart. And even though, you know, it's not about whether the wish can come true or not, it's our connection with this person through their happiness and just wishing them well. And that is the heart's wish. You know, may we all be happy all the time. That's what the heart wants for us. So I'll repeat the phrases a little bit as we practice, and let's go ahead and do some practice together. Okay. Bringing this being to mind, remembering a moment of their happiness, and that's our meditation object. We just stay in this moment with them. And as you know their happiness, wish them well. I appreciate your joy. Or, I'm glad you're happy. Or, may you always be this happy. Just pick one of these phrases. I appreciate your joy. Or, I'm glad you're happy. Or, may you always be this happy. Just keep it simple. You don't need some big story about their happiness. It's just this heart, simple heart connection with their well-being. And then we repeat this phrase often enough so that you have something to focus on, but not so often that it feels mechanical. I appreciate your joy. Or, I'm glad you're happy. Or, may you always be this happy. The phrase, person's well-being, that's what we focus on. Everything else is distraction. If you get distracted, just gently return the attention to the phrase and your easy being's happiness. And now, if you would, let's open our hearts just to other beings who live near us. So just orient to neighbors, or maybe people in a grocery store nearby, or. And again, this practice is remembering everyone has happiness in their lives. And so when we think of more beings than one, you know, maybe there's something more universal we can think about. Everyone enjoys a sunset. Or maybe people are, you know, you can imagine people just enjoying a cup of tea. So just let your mind sort of wander through your neighborhood. Maybe someone's enjoying a cup of coffee right now. So yeah, we're imagining this. And we might say, I'm glad there's happiness in your life. Or if it feels right, you could say, may you always be this happy. Anyone you encounter in your mind, remember there's happiness in their life and wish them well. I appreciate there's joy in your life. Maybe a neighbor's walking a dog right now, and you can tune in to the joy of the dog and just the well-being of the neighbor's connection with their treasured animal. I appreciate the joy in your life. May the goodness of our practice be of benefit to all beings everywhere. May all beings everywhere be truly happy and free.